The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Let's talk about the deposit scheme that we've all been getting used to here. The idea of bringing back the plastic bottle that I have here in front of me right now. I'm now supposed to bring that back to a reverse vending machine next time I'm passing one, put it in, and I get 15 cent back, and I could go in and spend that in the shop. And it's a system that we're getting used to. I'm not saying that we're used to it, but we are getting used to it. But my next guest is someone who says we're only kind of at the start of this journey and we need to embrace it a little bit more. Nathan Dufour of the Reuse Vanguard Project at Zero Waste Europe is with us now. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on now.
Yeah, we're only getting used to this now. And I know other countries such as Germany are well integrated with the reuse scheme for plastic bottles. What else should we be doing, Nathan?
Oh, we should be doing many things, right? But especially if you take a good look at what's the current situation. Because I think it's good to start from the perspective of what is it we are facing now? What is the scale, the scope of the problem? And then how do we tackle it? And then depositing schemes are obviously important. And that's how you need to look at it. And then what are the other initiatives that we can come up as well with? And that is the work that I'm doing with Zero Waste Europe. So first, just a little look at the current situation. If you consider just those stats that 40% of all plastics and 50% of all paper is being consumed within the EU currently is actually just being devoted to packaging, creation and consumption of packaging, which is to a very large extent single use. So you take it and then you throw it away, and then you need to manage the whole waste problem that is generated because of those consumption habits. So one way of dealing with that is to actually reduce that at the source. So anytime you don't need packaging, basically, look at this with designers and so on, and try to make sure that that packaging is simply not used, not being created in the first place. And then for all the rest, wherefore, I don't know, let's say for health reasons, hygiene reasons, you need a packaging. Well, then you do that in a smart way. You do that in a way that is really maximizing the way you use resources. Okay. In order to do that, then you just cut and you use one packaging that is well designed so that it can undergo multiple cycles until the end of life, and then you get to deal with the end of life.
All right. I'm with you and I want to succeed on this, and we go through far too much packaging, and even with the recycling we're doing now, it's not enough.
It's
we should be cutting
yeah,
it out.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give you one example to try and solve for me. Raspberries, right? And I remember speaking to somebody in Keelings who were one of the biggest producers of raspberries and in this country. And mm-hmm. the shelf life of the raspberry is notoriously short. And if they don't put it into plastic packaging with a plastic cover on it, or at least cardboard packaging with a plastic cover on it, they ain't going to last.
Yes, there is a whole reflection also for that sort of product, and it's been optimized, obviously, for many products as much as possible. Now, what I'm saying is there might be still exceptions of things we need to work further on and try to find a solution, but presumably you can still argue that the plastic shell that is used for those strawberries can be turned into a reusable one. Moving forward, right? It changes your logistics. It changes the way people will consume and interact with the with that product. But it's still possible and needed moving forward for any virtually any sort of product to a very large extent.
I hear you, but what is that alternative reusable thing? I mean, that this is the equivalent of the conversation then, like the takeaway container, that we all end up with loads of takeaway containers that we eventually put in recycling. You know, that's not necessarily a solution either. Do we need to bring the same container back to the supermarket every time, fill it up with raspberries and bring it home?
That could be an option for the most committed, but we would argue at Zero Waste Europe that basically you need an infrastructure that makes it convenient for for people, for businesses as well, that are running the show in the background. And creating such an infrastructure takes time. It is not something that is going to happen overnight. And yet we have successful examples that we are building our project and so on upon, and trying to really build a story, a good positive storytelling around that. But not only, also to actually contribute to the design of the infrastructure that will make it convenient for customers, that will be simple, that will be performant in terms of, like, both economically speaking and environmentally speaking. We need to be able to report on the performance of what we are setting up as well. And so we are to hold accountable those that are running the show also and that are running the infrastructure.
You've hit the nail on the head there. It's holding someone to account. It's not the state. It's not the consumer. It's the supermarkets. It's the people who are actually creating, generating this waste, and the people who supply the supermarkets. And until such time as you get them on board, this is a folly.
I get your point, Ian, and I think supermarkets have definitely an important responsibility in there, and I think they should definitely devote much more resources in transforming the way they do things, they do business, because it is something that is driving us to the wall, and they are definitely a big player in there. Not only supermarkets, but also fast food companies, for instance. We have seen a massive lobbying from fast food companies in the European Parliament very recently, back to things that they were really pursuing MEPs, member of the European Parliament, into the toilet, for instance, their offices, and harassing them to get their points in there. Well, actually, it was just about defending a business model that is not fit for the world for the 21st century. And what we really need to aim to is to reconcile environmental approach with economics. So there is basically nothing that the business should be doing which is not fit for to actually help move forward on the environmental viewpoint. It's easier said than done, but there are many.
It is easier said than done. And my fear here that it's poor old consumer is going to have to deal with this at the end of the day, and we're the ones who are going to end up either paying more as a result of this, or worse again, having even more bins. Now, we laughed. We were laughing at the Conservatives in Britain, and they were saying that people are going to need 7 bins, and we all went, "Ha, that's very funny." Typical thing of the Tory party to say, I'm now on 5 bins in my house that I need to settle out and sort out recycling. If we change it again, I'm going to need another bin, which would be, except for example, if I was to get reusable cereals or reusable yogurts or whatever the case may be to bring them back to shop, that's another bin I'm going to need. And then I should probably separate out my paper from my plastic. So it ultimately, this is just going to result in the consumer having to do more and nobody willing to help them.
The thing is, there is probably a bit of truth in what you say in terms of doing more. We have reached such a level of convenience that it's obviously, and if you link the convenience with the current pollution problem, well, then obviously there is a link. And it's difficult to imagine that we move forward and that we keep the exact same level of convenience and that at the same time we manage to tackle the pollution problem. Or the CO2 emissions problem. Obviously, we need to change the way we consume. We need to change the way we function as human beings, because we are not going in the right direction. Now, there are things that can be done that actually also enhances and increase the sort of positive feedback that consumers can get for themselves while doing things. I'm thinking, for instance, I wanted you to take two maybe examples out of my head now. Like, one would be, look at all the journey when it comes to get rid of smoking in public spaces, for instance, or look at the journey that we've been doing. I'm based in Brussels, I'm Belgian, and I take one thing, which is the car-free zone in the city center. Now, nobody would like to get back on what was the case before. It was a massive boulevard with cars everywhere. People were highly against moving and reducing the convenience of being able to cross the city center with a car. But now if you go there, it's full of trees, it's full of life, you know, it's peaceful, it's calm. And you can have a nice moment, you know, in the city center of Brussels and acknowledge the infrastructure, the architecture around, you know, and have a good time with your friends without being bothered by so many cars. When it comes to packaging, this is something you can do as well.
Yeah, we'll try and get there. Nobody said it's going to be easy, but we'll definitely try and get there. We leave it at that point for now. Thank you very much for joining us on the line this morning. Nathan Dufour of the Reuse Vanguard Project at Zero Waste Europe. We're going to have to get a lot more bins. I think that's the reality. And we're going to have to get better at what we're doing. Still not sold on that deposit scheme, purely because I just don't think it's good enough. We could be doing technology. We could be doing other ways of getting that money back. It's just having to go back into the same shop just really annoys me.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.